Hello and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This week, President Trump signed a resolution allowing states to withhold federal Title X funds from full-service family planning centers. The move nullifies an Obama order meant to safeguard those centers from states seeking to stop abortion, largely by targeting Planned Parenthood. This week, too, the organization's regional head of the Great Northwest in Hawaii is back in Honolulu. Chris Charbonneau came into our studio yesterday, and we talked about the Trump resolution and its effect on states' power to control her organization.
Well, we were grateful to President Obama that he had written these protections in to begin with. It meant that President Trump would have to remove them if he wanted to. That's the act he's taken. It means that in states where family planning providers like Planned Parenthood are being attacked, that states would have no barrier to attempting to defund Planned Parenthood for various discriminatory reasons, as opposed to not doing the job or committing fraud. Usually those are the standards by which providers are measured. And we're hoping that that is not the case in many states. It's clearly not a problem for us here in Hawaii. And Planned Parenthood is not going to be defunded here in Hawaii because of the political will here. But the most recent work only makes it possible for states who have an inclination to go after Planned Parenthood in a new way. It's not a problem in what we consider the blue states, but it is a big problem in what we consider vulnerable or red states. And so it's possible that people could say, we're just not going to let Planned Parenthood do family planning in those states. We won't lose our money, which used to be the penalty for a state that did that, if we don't allow it. So I would assume that in those states, there will be a tremendous amount of court action to try to protect Planned Parenthood.
Which seems to be more state money lost and less of an ability to be able to deliver services to women in those states who may need them and who will have to then go elsewhere.
Well, the real ridiculousness about this game that's being played is that the people who are hurt by it are low-income women who need contraception. And I think as vast majorities of the community believe that low-income folks having help getting access to contraception is a really fine idea, that this is just the kind of public policy we don't elect anyone to go do.
Because this has been so couched in an abortion conversation, how do you change that conversation now when so clearly it's been moved in that direction so long and so strongly?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to just keep repeating that the funds we're talking about are not about abortion. The funds we're talking about are contraceptive services. People who use these funds are prevented from using them for abortion services. That, in fact, works. The family planning entities are all audited on that basis every year. And for 40 years, there have not been cases of family planning providers trying to use birth control money for abortion services. So we just need to say this is about birth control over and over again. And basically, women are being used as pawns in a political struggle.
When you talk about offering services, that leads us into a conversation about SB 501,
yep,
which is currently in yet another incarnation, mm-hmm, in which some of the language has been changed, mm-hmm, to not use the word abortion at all, but to talk about, you know, pregnancy-related services. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
I think that SB 501, which is the bill regulating limited service pregnancy centers, needs to be thought of as a broad consumer protection bill. Basically, the goal here is to ensure that these organizations that purport to be helping women are really mostly there to mislead people out of their ability to get an abortion in a timely fashion. They're there to propagandize against that particular choice. And I think as long as these organizations are required to uphold those sorts of standards, then we will be fine with it. They're going to go into conference committee and work out any details that need working out on that. But we're hopeful that that the bill will come out to be something that's really of service to the public.
You mentioned earlier that in blue states like ours, you don't feel a great deal of threat. Do you find it ironic, though, that we are still having these niggling discussions over this kind of language in a state like ours?
I actually am a little bit surprised. It's not a mystery what these organizations are there to do. These organizations want women who are pregnant to decide to carry those pregnancies to term. And there is history in the movement that created these organizations that they would lower themselves to misleading tactics. They would advertise themselves as pregnancy advisory. Sometimes they put themselves in phone books under the words abortion services and lure people in that way. And I always just use the framework, if you're really doing something right for people, if you're really doing something just for people, you don't need to lie about what that is. And if you're not, then you might have to lure people in. And so I think that that having the normal kind of protection one would have for any other service makes sense, and it makes sense for the legislature to support that. If you were going into a hospital and you were trying to get your tonsils removed and someone said, you know, must come here for tonsillectomy, and then when you got there they tried to talk you out of having something done about your tonsils, you certainly would feel misled and deceived. There would be all kinds of complaints about something like that. And so this is just that. It's not okay to force people to do what you want them to do by misleading them about what your purposes are.
The conversation that cleaves along religious lines is what you're alluding to. Mm-hmm. Is that line ever going to be able to be breached? Is there any way of being able to make a cogent argument, or are we simply in for this forever?
Well, I believe there's a tremendously cogent argument. If you have women who are really undecided, acts of kindness and support that help someone carry a pregnancy to term could be an incredible gift to somebody. Saying, we will be there for you 24/7 for the next 18 years of that child's life as a religious community or whatever else you happen to be, that would be a very powerful supportive message. The we're going to be there for 2 weeks to take a pregnancy test for you but not give you the results until it's too late to do something about it, that's not kind, and that's not just, and it's not spiritual, and it's not religious. And so that is what this bill is designed to guard against, and we wouldn't need to guard against it if it didn't exist.
How do you think Hawaii is doing in the real concern for reproductive rights?
I think Hawaii is phenomenal in terms of the concern of the people and the legislature and the willingness to cooperate, insurance companies helping, people just all getting together around what's smart to do. In fact, Washington State just passed the bill that allows 12 months of contraception in a single visit, inspired by Hawaii, who did it last year as the first state in the country. That made sense, not to make it more difficult to get contraception for the women who need to use it. And Hawaii has the potential to become the very best state for women and women's health in the country. And I think that should be all of our collective goal.
What do you think stands in our way of being the very best? What comes next?
I think we just write down our agenda together, have some discussions with various community members about what is it that we could put in place to make the environment the most supportive for people who are getting planning in advance, making sure that they don't get ill. We create an infrastructure that supports the people who do it, and off we go. I think the willingness, the political understanding in Hawaii is the best in the nation. And I think very little stands in our way of actually getting that done. I'm incredibly hopeful about the future of this state.
Including some of the religious arguments that we keep hearing year to year.
We keep hearing them. And I think that, as I said, there are ways for the religious community to be incredibly helpful and supportive about some of this. It will not mean that they will be able to determine what people who are not of their faith do. And it will not mean that they'll be able to control the people in their own church. But the arguments certainly can be made. And, if you win over the hearts and minds of someone, they might see the world your way. That's always an option. Getting in the way to prevent people from exercising their own rights, that's not the path.
I want to thank you so much for stopping in.
Thank you so much, Beth Ann, for having me.
Chris Charbonneau is the CEO of Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and the Hawaiian Islands. It's the regional group that operates 27 health centers in Alaska, Hawaii, Idaho, and Western Washington, and provides medical services and sexuality education to more than 80,000 women, men, and young people each year. The resolution signed by President Trump yesterday allows states to restrict federal Title X funds to family planning centers.